from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In anything you want, but you can't, because what my first draft portrayed him as was broke, and where he needed money from the guys, he's borrowing money from Turtle, he's doing this. And Bob at the time said, I'm not an Aryan guy, but I have two, which is true. And I think he's the only one in history. Two top 10 shows on the network at the same time, which was Home Videos and Full House. He goes, I can't say I'm broke. It's embarrassing for my children. And I'm like, okay, but the hookers and the coke.
Yeah, that's all totally fine.
I'll get rid of the broke.
I cannot have them thinking daddy doesn't have any money.
So anyway, that was that. And Bob, you know, was the best. He was great, great guy. And another one of the experiences of the show, get to meet someone and become friends with them. Him and Jeff Ross roasted me at my 45th birthday party, I think, in front of Russell Wilson and a number of other people, Larry David. And those were some of the great experiences that we got off camera that, you know, kind of played like the stuff you saw in front of the camera, you know?
Doug, we really appreciate you doing this. Congratulations on the 20th anniversary, and thank you so much. This was fantastic.
Yep, thanks, guys. Be good. Go Yankees, Giants, Knicks, etc., Islanders. I'll talk to you later.
Not the Rangers, though. Not the Rangers.
Oh, never. Bye, guys.
See you, Doug.
That is Doug Ellen. He's the creator and showrunner of Entourage. I cannot thank you enough, Tim. That was fantastic.
Yeah, no, it was fun, man. I mean, it's, you know, I'll tell you on the other side of the break, but no, I've always loved catching up with Doug. And, you know, he never wanted to necessarily, when he would come on VSiN, he wanted to talk sports. He's like, I don't really want to just continuously go down the rabbit hole. So we would talk like sports for like 9 minutes, and then I would always like slip in one Entourage question. That's probably the first time I've really fanboyed out on Entourage with him, where we just kind of, he told stories. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. What was your... I really wish that he would have gotten to remake The Great Gatsby rather than The Great Gatsby that we remade.
Well, that's the funny thing is, like, think about how many of the fictional movies he came up with became real movies.
Aquaman?
And Great Aquaman Gatsby? There was a bunch of others that, like, I remember texting with him, like, dude, how many of these movies that you fictionally created and put Vince in became real movies? Like, it's pretty wild. Like, he had a moment where one of the characters that Vince was dating did a duet with Tony Bennett, and then, like, a couple years later, Tony Bennett did it with Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's pretty wild how many things on that show that were fictitious became reality at some point.
Bro, your caps. Stay real. Still, I don't know why that is like one of the dumbest, stupidest gaffes ever. But it makes
Lamar
me laugh.
Odom just comes up to Vince. He's like, yo, what's up with your brother?
Well, that was one of the questions my buddy submitted, but we didn't have time for it. Did people actually like drama, or did they just put up with drama because he was Vince's brother?
Ooh. I think over the years, he's just around enough
that you're like, hey, he kind of is our friend.
What I always liked about the show was, Like, oh, like I was just watching the pilot. It just goes right into it. There's no like re-indoctrination. It's like, okay, where are we? Like always their season premieres just picked up, right? It was 3 months later, but they always just went. And I always thought that was interesting from, you know, how he wrote the show.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the list. We've got the ESPN tried to objectively rank the 25 best college football stadiums. They've also ranked 100 greatest athletes. People got thoughts on that. We'll talk about all that when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Jeffrey and Company make a list of the biggest stories, both good and bad, that we need to talk about. This is The List.
You just made the list!
Presented by Birdies 901, Memphis's place for virtual golf. The List on 92.9.
ESPN.com.
You just made the list!
All right, Tim, so over at ESPN.com, we got two lists today on the list. We've, I think, officially reached list inception. Which one would you want to talk about first? College football, stadiums, or athletes?
We could do the athlete one.
Okay. So they have been doing the top 100 athletes of the 21st century. So the century's greatest athletes, that TV program.
Yeah, it was a series, yep.
Now we have this. The number one athlete of the 21st century. I don't think, is he a DMV guy or is he trained?
Sort of. He's from Baltimore, yeah. So he's not technically part of the DMV, but I claim him because he's a Maryland guy.
It is Michael Phelps. Key accomplishments. A record 28-time Olympic medalist, 23-time Olympic gold medalist, most gold medals at a single Olympics when he won 8 in Beijing. First off, this list in general, can we agree that this might be the most like impossible undertaking?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for me, because you were like, hey, I want to talk about this, you know, athletes of the 21st century, and I saw Pat McAfee, you know, got unhinged on his show about it. I don't know how you can properly do this. Like, how do you compare LeBron James, Serena Williams, Michael Phelps, Messi? Like, I don't know Tom Brady. I don't know how you equate, like, Michael Phelps, what he did over the time that he did it was, has never been done before. So I understand the argument, and I actually don't have that big of a pushback.
So
on the Phelps thing?
Do I think this is a defensible position? Obviously, I do. I would also say this, though. Like, I imagine in other obscure things, there are other dominant people, and I guarantee you they appear nowhere on this list.
So I made an argument when I was doing local radio 8 years ago, 2016, and Katie Ledecky won her race by, like, the length of the pool.
Yeah.
I made the argument she's the most dominant athlete in the world because at her specific strength, she just beat the world by the pool. And like,
she was racing a different race.
Right. Like, she looked like she was racing six-year-olds.
Yeah.
So that was like my point was LeBron James at the time was the best basketball player in the world, but there were people close to him.
Yes, and much closer than they were than the other swimmers were to Katie.
Right. So I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, this dude in 2008, which, by the way, was the same summer that I discovered Entourage, oddly enough, is like what he did in 2008. I don't know if it'll ever be done again. So once again, that's where I'm like, I guess I get it. But then I think about like Serena, who comes in at two. And I remember, I think it was the 2012 Wimbledon final. She was facing Maria Sharapova.
Yeah.
And I was uncomfortable watching it because she was destroying her so much.
I think she made Maria cry.
Like, it was, I remember I was in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, I believe, or some random town in Pennsylvania.
To see the Little League World Series.
To call the Aberdeen Ironbirds versus the Williamsport Crosscutters that evening. And I'm sitting there in my hotel room and I'm like cringing. I'm like, this is not fun. Like, she's just destroying the second best tennis player in the world. I can't speak to Messi. Like, I don't know. I don't know enough about soccer. Like, I know he just, like, is he that dominant? I don't know. Like, I allude to the soccer folks out there. There's plenty of them. I don't want to plead. I'm pleading ignorance on Messi. Like, I don't know. How do you prove to me? And once again, this is a completely, I'm not trying to be the anti-soccer guy.
No,
I'm trying to ask the question because Messi came in at number three on this list. When I watch LeBron at his peak or Serena at her peak or even Michael Phelps, I can tell, like, that person is better than everyone else. When I watch a soccer game, I could see that they're good, but I can never really tell, like, holy smokes, that guy is better than everybody. You know what I'm saying?
It's a little different because to be a dominant soccer player, you're not like the sheer force of reality. While I'm not, while I would consider myself like casual plus on soccer, I will tell you that most of the informed people and the informed minds say that Lionel Messi did stuff in soccer that nobody else did. And he's like, and so he would fall into that category, but it's this weird reality. Like, when we think of the greats, it's usually like this just like force of will, but he's not that, you know, he's diminutive. Like, he's quick, but he was never like the quickest, the fastest, the most amazing. It's just, he was so unbelievably skilled that no one else had seen anything like it.
So, and I look at this list and I know people are going to get fired up. How could Tom Brady not be one? How can LeBron not be number one? Like, I look at Simone Biles, and from my understanding, what she's been able to do from the gymnastics world is, like, stuff that's never been done before. Like, I think she has, like, a twist named after her. Like, what she did in 2016, she just went there and obliterated the field. I would say
she has five skills that bear her name.
Right? Like, that's insane. So, I just don't know how you make this list. Like, Usain Bolt's nine. Usain Bolt never, it felt like every time he went out there, he was like laughing at the competition.
The only one that I kind of have a problem with. So Federer's at six. Then you
probably should be higher.
Well, he's at six, and then Novak and Nadal, who do have more Grand Slams. Like, my thing is, I was always a Nadal guy, but I have, like, this insane appreciation of Federer because, like, I think he's, like, the greatest, like, marketing genius that's ever lived. Like, anytime you'd see him finish a match, like, he would go,
he would put
his Rolex on, always with the face out. He'd take, like, a sip of his Gatorade. Like, if he could use his Gillette razor, he would have used that. Like, it was just perfect. But, like, Djokovic has got everything. And they played in the same era. And Djokovic has the head-to-head. And it's like, that one kind of feels political to me. Like, that they just don't want to put Djokovic ahead of him.
That's possible. I mean, I think we overall like Djokovic or Federer more.
Yes, there's no question.
So, yeah, I think I could hear that. Like, yeah, I'm looking through this list and I'm just like, Kevin Durant is 23rd. I'm like, that seems a little high. Like, he's the third basketball player on, or fourth basketball player. Oh, no, okay, he's got, never mind. All right, now Tim Duncan's ahead of him, Shaq's ahead of him, LeBron, Steph Curry. Okay, I mean, I don't know. I've kind of gotten to the point where I know why they do these things.
My big takeaway was, you know what this list was? Perfection.
For people to talk about it.
This was exactly what it was meant to be.
It's July 18th.
Engagement. Yes. Engagement and conversation.
It's list season. And we talked about this with the video game.
Oh, yeah. You know,
they drop these little lists, these little morsels to get us all fired up. You know, it happens every year. It's like when the NFL puts out their player ranking.
The top 100?
And they drop it 100 through 91. 90 to 81. And it's just that perfect time in July, right when they're getting to training camp. It leads to segments on television. And I get what they're doing. It's to get people fired up. And you almost don't want to take the bait. You're like, no, I don't want to take the bait.
But I can't help myself.
But like, I just, like, what to you, I don't know what the most egregious thing is, because I can argue Michael Phelps, Serena. You argued it for Messi. You could argue LeBron. I mean, LeBron's been a sustainable monster of a force, and he's the all-time leading scorer, has played his entire career in this century. So I get why he would be there.
Tiger's at 8.
Now, when did Tiger win the Tiger Slam?
That would be 2000. He won the 2000 U.S. Open, British Open, PGA, and then he won the 01 Masters.
Tiger should be higher than.
Yes, and to me it's
he
like...
He won his Masters in 97.
He has two majors in the 90s. The 20th century. He has the 97 Masters and the 99 PGA, and then all the rest. But
I think Tiger should be higher. I think Tiger is... Now, I know, I wasn't alive when Jack was winning majors, but like the sheer dominance and fear of Tiger.
Jack wasn't winning majors by 8 shots.
Right. Like I think to me, the Phelps one's weird because he was dominant in an event that happened every 4 years.
Yes.
So that's the tricky part. Like if this is sheer dominance, and how do they define this? The ranking of the top professional athletes. I would put Tiger and Serena in like 1-2. That would be my tweak to this. And I mean, I guess Tom Brady, I guess to an extent, but like he plays a team sport. Tiger and Serena were like people were terrified to play those two.
Oh,
like,
I mean,
there was an intimidation factor of like, I got to play with Tiger on Sunday. Like, this is not going to go well. I'm going to lose.
And it goes back to the same point that you're making with Serena. It's not only just an intimidation factor. It is this person is doing stuff we've never seen before. Like, the way he was beating fields, winning a U.S. Open on a torn ACL and broken leg. Like, he was doing stuff that just... Like, to me, if Serena's going to be 2, like, they should be neck and neck, because the arguments are still the same. It's like, Serena doesn't have the most Grand Slams of women tennis players, but she has the second most, and we also acknowledge the era she played in was completely different. It's like the same thing with Tiger. It's like, yes, he doesn't have as many majors as Jack, but the eras are very, very different.
Yeah, and he also created an era. Like, he created Tiger.
He created an entire generation
of golfers.
Yes.
And so did Serena, I think, from an extent. Like, you talk to women tennis players, and they're like, yeah, I mean, that was my idol. Like, you watch, what was that? Full court, first court.
What is it? Breakpoint?
Yeah, Breakpoint. Like, they even mentioned, like, one of the characters that they follow around is the one who beat Serena in the last match of her career. And, like, she was, like, she was crying. She's like, I don't want to do this. Like, I didn't want to beat you, you know? I don't want to end your career.
Should Kobe be the second best basketball player?
I think so, man. I think he changed the game. I think you think about his dominance is different. He's still doing it. He was, I think, first team all NBA this year, right?
No, no, I'm saying, should Kobe be the second?
Oh, Kobe. I think you said Curry.
No, no. Should Kobe?
No, I don't think so.
I
think Curry should be ahead of him.
Or I'd say Curry or Duncan.
Or you could say Shaq. If you're talking about dominance, like Shaq's dominance in the early 2000s, like you were like, how do we stop this guy?
Well, I mean, was it like one? There's one playoffs where he averaged like 35 and 20. It was insane.
Yeah. I think Curry, to me, I think Curry's dominance is going to be underrated because you look at Shaq, LeBron. I mean, they're superhumans. And Steph Curry, you're like, it's just a guy. Like,
well, and it's also, it's like,
and he's like, there's a part of people that are like, well, I could shoot threes.
Yeah. I would say the other problem that I feel like he has is his greatness is a skill.
And he's never been fully accepted. And now we could get into the whole old generation of the NBA and that,
yeah,
you know, Oscar Robinson and all that stuff. But like, the most recent, you know, the late night or early 90s crew, they're like, oh, we would just bump him off screens. I'm like, the dude pulled up from 28 feet. And if you got up on him, he'll dribble around you because he's quick as a cat. Like,
and he has an incredible handle.
Right, and he's a great passer. Like, people underrated, especially when he made, like, kind of came onto the scene and won his first two MVPs, or won those, I think those was only two. But when he won those MVPs, it was like, he just shoots. It's like, no, he doesn't. He's changed the game because he's stretched the floor so much.
Exactly.
So now you, like, growing up playing basketball, if you faced a good three-point shooter, you're like, okay, we'll guard him at the three-point line. Steph Curry, you had to guard as he crossed half court.
Well, and like, to me, it's like, what is your impact on the game? Well, his impact is the entire league had to change the way they played. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's now doing the same thing that they are, which is, you know, it's all the threes. It's the spacing, the floor. It's all, and to me, like, that's him. Like, I just...
Right, you could watch Steph Curry as a young kid, and you could almost have, like, aspirations of being like, huh, I could do that. When you watch LeBron fly through the air,
there's no chance.
A dunk with full power, you're like, I can't do that. But I could shoot a three. Now, you'd be wrong.
Correct.
Because Steph Curry's the greatest shooter ever to walk the face of the earth. But you could be like, I could shoot threes. I could do that. I could dribble through my legs. It's like, well, you can't. But sure, you could try. But yeah, I think Steph Curry, to me, is a bit underrated in this list because I don't think people recognize the full extent of the gravity of his career and what it's meant for the game.
Is this right? Is Pujols the first baseball player at 24?
That's where we're at, man.
That's insane.
Where's my boy Ovi?
I saw Sydney at 22.
Man.
Mayweather at 25, you can make an argument, is wildly underrated.
Ovi was 54.
Yeah.
No love for my man.
All right, other lists. So they pulled something else to get upset about. ESPN sent out rankings to 14 college football writers asking them to rank the best stadiums in the sport. All right, number one, I don't think many people are going to have an argument with it. It's Tiger Stadium, LSU. I will also say this. I've been to many games at Tiger Stadium. It is an experience. I do also think they get to cheat a little bit because they've built this night game at Tiger Stadium mantra, they get the advantage because they just have this massive stadium, everybody's liquored up, and they get night games. And so it always looks awesome. Like, it's an unfair advantage. It's kind of the same thing. Like, in the Big Ten, the school that really embraced night games is Penn State. Like, when I think about the biggest state and the best stadium atmosphere in the Big Ten, it's like, it's Penn State. But I think it's also cheating because they just have more night games.
So I'm looking at the full list.
All right, number two I think is the most overrated stadium, and I've been there. But it's the most, this is the stadium that sports writers just touch themselves to. The Rose Bowl. How can you rank it? Like, if it's the Rose Bowl game, I will sit there and listen to the argument. But the stadium itself is just nothing. It's this, like, flat, like, wide stadium. There's no atmosphere. It's just nothing. This is just the most sports writer thing of all time to rank that thing too.
The Rose Bowl game.
Correct. If you want to say the Rose Bowl game, I can go down that path.
UCLA home games, not so much.
100%.
UCLA, Coastal Carolina, not so much.
No. Three, Michigan Stadium.
The Big House.
Four, Notre Dame Stadium.
Yay.
Five, Beaver Stadium. It's like, that's my thing. It's like, I think Beaver Stadium should be ahead of Michigan Stadium.
I've never been to a lot of these. I've been to Beaver Stadium for a night game, for a whiteout game, and it was all that it was cracked up to be. And it was pretty wild, especially to be an opposing fan in that stadium with all those fans cheering against you.
Intimidating.
Not super awesome. I'll say this, like I've been to probably 20 plus games at Notre Dame. I mean, it's something you got to go to. I love it. It's what college football, you know, as you get the cliche, is all about. It's for a 3:30. I mean, and a lot of these you have to put a caveat onto it, right?
Yes. Like,
the Rose Bowl, in the setting that it's supposed to be, Big Ten versus Pac-12, January 1st, Mach 5 flyover, all of that. Maybe number one.
Yeah,
I mean, like, UCLA versus Rutgers.
You know, when they do the stealth flyover, and
stealth,
you're like,
bomber.
Yeah, you're like,
stealth,
oh,
bomber.
My God.
Yeah, and like anyone else, and like it's 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central. It's, you know, it's the sun shining. If you're anywhere in the country, not anywhere, but most places in the country, it's probably crappy weather, and usually it's sunny there. He had Keith Jackson for years, the granddaddy of them all. So, like, to Notre Dame Stadium's point, there's a lot of cool things about it. You go there for Notre Dame Northern Illinois this year, and you'll be like, all right, yeah, it's kind of cool. Like, you have to, everything has to be involved with. Get there on Friday.
It's the history.
Watch the pep rally. Watch the band play in the, you know, in the jack. You know, watch the team walk from church to the stadium. Like, if you're incorporating all of that, okay. But this is another weird kind of list thing. It's like, okay. And a lot of these places are just big-ass concrete buildings.
Well, and then that's the other thing. Six, Husky Stadium. It's like, yeah, the place is just touched by God. It's right there on the Puget
on the
Sound. Like, it's like, there's nothing like it. Like, it's like, but itself, like, the stadium is, like, okay, but it's like, it is the location.
Well, it's like Mikey Stadium for Army, which is 12.
Yes.
I've never been there, but everyone that tells me that they have been there, it's pretty darn cool because it's on the Hudson.
Yep.
It's, you know, on Army's campus. Like, there's a lot of cool things about Mikey Stadium that makes it unique. I'm kind of glad that it's a part of this list.
Yeah, I actually, that was like one of the one things I was like, good.
Yeah, it's not just all big ass stadiums that sell out on Saturday nights. Like, this is smart. Like, this is forward thinking. This is creative. Like, if you look at the honorable mention, like, that's where it gets kind of cool. Like, there's, like, by the way, the Coliseum's 22. From my understanding, the Coliseum's kind of a piece of crap.
That can confirm. It's a dump. Now, I should say this. I haven't been since the renovation.
I'm going this year. So I am, I'll be checking it out for the first time this year. But like the honorable mention, like the Kibbe Dome where Idaho plays.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's cool.
I
like,
mean, yeah. Now the video game's out.
Now the
video game's back,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all of us played games at the Kibbe Dome. 7's Ohio State. 8 is Camp Randall, Wisconsin. 9's Bryant and Denny. 10 is Neyland. 11 is Memorial Stadium for Clemson. 12 is, how do you say it? Mikey?
Yeah.
Mikey Stadium. 13's Kyle Field, but it's number one in EA Sports. 14, Outson Stadium. 15, Lane Stadium. But as you've pointed out, it's not necessarily Lane Stadium. It's just Inner Sandman.
Yeah, I mean, that's, once again, just tell it how it is. Just be like 15, Lane Stadium's entrance at a night game.
Correct.
For a night game.
Yes, which you need to bet before you watch that, because it will sway you every time. 16, Memorial Stadium for Nebraska. 17, Jordan-Hare. 18, Sanford Stadium in Georgia. 19, Doak Campbell. 20, The Swamp. That's way too low. That's absurdly low. Let me say this.
Because they stink right now.
Yeah, but having covered... So, The Swamp is at 20, and Vaught-Hemingway, the Ole Miss's stadium's at 21. Those do not need to be back-to-back. Like, that's not even remotely... Ole Miss's stadium's an erector set. Like, it's like built at like... It's like each side looks different. 22, the Coliseum. 23, Kid Brewer Stadium app. That place is cool because it's like cut into the mountain. That place is cool. OU at 24. And then Darrell K. Royal Stadium at 25.
So I want to run through just real quickly some of the other receiving votes. So we mentioned Kibbe Dome, which is where Idaho plays. The Cotton Bowl. Look, the Texas-Oklahoma game, that should be on this list. Because that's one of the cool things. It's just part of the fair. They split the tickets right down the middle. That's neat. I'll say this about Boise. I did sidelines for the bowl game a couple years ago. Stadium's kind of a dump.
Yeah, it's the turf. Like, that's just the only thing. It's
not that cool.
It's the gimmick.
It's the turf.
I was shocked to not see Rice-Eccles Stadium. Every sports writer loves that. Oh, my gosh. This place is amazing.
The Sun Bowl? It's a pretty cool location, man. It's right in the mountains. It's sunken down. It's pretty neat. Now, UTEP plays home games there, so no one goes to their games. So totally get why it's not ranked that high. It's part of the honorable mention, but it's pretty neat. War Memorial Stadium, I would love to go to that. That's Wyoming Stadium. I bet you that is really cool.
My only real problem with the list, again, the Rose Bowl being way too high.
Also, Aloha Stadium's on here. Aloha Stadium's been, like, condemned.
I thought it's torn down.
I think it's still up, but they haven't done anything
to it. They put some bleachers, like, on a soccer field.
They play on their practice facility, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. My biggest problem with this list is it feels a little too much Big Tenny.
Give him something, man. The SEC's taking over the world.
Well, because I also had this thought, because this is one of the college football things I want to talk about before we take a break. You and I both agree the Big 12 is going to be fun to watch.
Yes.
Primarily because it's competitive. We both believe this season they're not going to have a real credible contender. Am I putting any words in your mouth?
No, not at all. I think Utah... No, that's fair.
Okay.
They do not have a team that can win the national championship.
Okay. Because we both agree, like, we think it's going to be fun. Why is that league so much more fun to watch than the ACC? Because the AC, everything we basically just said somewhat applies to the ACC. And you could also make the argument they might have a better chance of having a title contender than the Big 12 does. But why? Because I'm acknowledging this is a me problem. Why is that?
I don't know for sure. My hypothesis would be that Clemson has won a title before, Florida State has won a title before, and because of that, we just assume that they're a cut above. And when you look at the Big 12 now as it's situated, we just think they're all on the same playing field. That is my two cents. Also, I do think the Big 12 is a little deeper with contenders. I don't know legitimately how many teams can contend. And then lastly, I would say, right or wrong, I think we associate like
Basketball.
Well, we associate, now Duke was good last year, but normally we're like, oh, Duke, Virginia, those teams stink. I'm like, yeah, you know who stinks? Arizona State. Like, they're really bad.
Yeah,
but we like, but we're like, ah, you know, it's Arizona State. They have attractive people that go there, so they should be good. And they're like, no, they're terrible. They're really bad. And now they have like Stanford and Cal. It's like, oh, Stanford and Cal, they're no good. I'm like, ah, you know who's not good? Houston's not going to be good this year.
No.
BYU's not going to be good this year.
Cincinnati's probably not.
Yeah, Cincinnati probably not going to be great. They could be okay, but yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it because I'm guilty of it. I'm like, I love the Big 12. It's going to be so much fun. And then the ACC's like, hey, man, we're decent. Clemson, Florida State, Miami, you know, Cristobal will probably mess it up, but they got talent on the roster. I think Virginia Tech, I talked about them on my podcast yesterday. Virginia Tech brings back the most offensive production in the country. And they, you know, they won their bowl game, and they've got an exciting quarterback.
It's like, not Grant Wells.
That's not Grant Wells. And once they put him in, Kyren Drones, they actually started to play good football. That's a really good question. And my guess is that we've had years where Clemson and Florida State just pummel everybody. So we just assume that's the way it's going to be this year. But it's not. Like, this conference is going to be pretty competitive this year. But maybe just because we assume that the Big 12 is going to be ultra competitive all the way around.
I think also the addition I would add is it feels like environments. Like, for the most part, every Big 12 school has its own version of a pretty good environment. Whereas when you think about the ACC, like, you close your eyes and you're at 12 p.m. on Fox Sports, whatever, Bally Sports Southeast or the CW, and you see 15,000 people in Chestnut Hill. You see a half empty Carrier Dome or whatever it is now. Pitt Stadium half full.
Oh, you know, yeah. Like, Pitt Stadium's a joke.
It's like there's only a couple of good atmospheres. Like, I feel like that's part of it too.
I want to ask you this question. I know you have to hit a break.
All right.
Is there a team that, for some reason, whatever sport it is, you just always want to see lose, like in a random team? I'm not saying like Duke basketball. So mine is Pitt football. I always want Pitt football to lose, and I don't really have a good explanation why.
Does whatever team Hugh Freeze is coaching count?
Sure.
I'm trying to think.
Like, Pitt used to always...
Someone whose just aura just offends you. Like, that's what you're basically asking.
It's just
which
like...
I don't have a problem with that. That's a good question. Who do I really love seeing lose?
Like, Narduzzi drives me crazy because he's always mad at something. But even prior to him, and maybe it's because as a Notre Dame fan, Pitt would always come in like 5-5 and then have the game of their lives and win. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, really? Tyler Palko is throwing for 6 touchdowns on this Saturday afternoon in South Bend.
Never forget, he's the reason that Joe Flacco had to leave.
And is one of the great what-ifs in sports history. But
Flacco with Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah, let's put the lefty out there.
Tyler Palko, baby.
All right, some ones that came to mind when you ask it. It's like, but it's most of it is like when Texas loses, it's funny to me. Like, Texas is back. Like, I love that. USC is the same thing. But I think you're thinking more of like the random.
Yeah, like Pittsburgh to me is just super random. And I always want them to lose. And I find it hilarious when they do. Like, it's a raining Friday night in front of 1,200 people at Heinz Field or whatever they're calling that stadium, and they lose to, you know, Syracuse. And I'm like, that's funny. Like, there's no real reasoning behind it, but I just always want Pitt to lose.
I think my answer is Baylor.
That is random. That is really random.
You know, like, you look at like their very colorful history. There's something about it. It's like, yeah, I enjoy when they lose. And I kind of like Aranda. Like, I think Aranda's a decent dude. But like, yeah, no, Baylor would be my random one.
Yeah, that's the one. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I think Russell Westbrook might have just been a part of the funniest trade that we've seen in a very long time. I want to discuss that and a couple other headlines. We'll do that next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, I told you that I think that Russell Westbrook might have been involved in one of the funniest trades I've ever seen. So this Woj bomb, right before we hit the air, ESPN sources, the Los Angeles Clippers are sending guard Russell Westbrook a second-round pick swap and cash to the Utah Jazz in a sign-and-trade agreement for guard Chris Dunn. So, number one, the fact that you had to, like, attach other assets just to get rid of him, and then the fact that he's going to Utah, which is, like, the original scene of the first, like, Russell kicking people out for saying Westbrook. Like, to me, like, it was like he really was sent to Siberia. But then we find out the Jazz are just going to release him, and then he's probably going to sign with the Nuggets.
Yeah, this only works for Denver if he clearly knows that, hey, here's the deal, Russ. We need someone to basically run the second team. When it comes crunch time, you're not going to be on the floor. You're not going to shoot shots from the corner. We're going to try to win a championship, but we need people to keep the energy up. I've always said this about Russell Westbrook. Because the night of the Lakers trade, I immediately on my show was like, not going to work. And I think
I think
most of us were in agreement. Anyone who watched basketball said, this is not going to work. He's not a player that makes sense with LeBron. And I have said for many years, even when he was in Oklahoma City, I remember getting in an argument with one of our hosts. I said, he will never win a championship as the main piece. It's just never going to happen. And I think I'm going to be accurate on that assessment. But when he's on a fledgling team, like the Washington Wizards, remember the COVID season?
Oh, yeah.
He got into the playoffs. Like, he's capable of doing that. So if his role is like, you're in charge of the second team, just go give us energy and score, I guess it works. But I don't know, man. Denver's just kind of weird to me. They win this championship. They let one of their biggest role pieces walk, which is understandable, in Brown. Then KCP leaves this offseason, and now you're bringing in Russell Westbrook? Like, him and Djokovic don't really make sense together.
No.
I don't think they do.
Surely they're not bringing him in to start, right?
No. He has to be bench, right? He has to be second team.
Almost assuredly. But I don't know. I agree with everything that you said. I have no further notes. A couple other things. Number one, we got the Open Championship going on. Sugar Shane Lowry leads atop of the... He shot a bogey-free 66. He leads by one. No, beg your pardon. He shot a bogey-free 66, but was 5-under. But he was eclipsed by...
Daniel Brown.
Yeah, the author of Da Vinci Code. And JT. But the real highlight, I don't know if you saw this. So on feature group coverage, so you can tell NBC's using, like, other analysts from over there. I could not... I watch a ton of golf. I could not identify who this voice was. But during Tiger's feature group, we got this Jim. And you look at the eyes, you got to think there's a lot of painkillers being taken to cope with the pain. Again, like, two things can be true. Number one, for like all the Tiger stands just went bananas. Yo, we can acknowledge, like, Tiger, you know, the last wreck, there was, like, it's all in the police report, Tim. It's all in the police report. There was bottles of painkillers. Like, we've had problems here before, but that was a bananas line to hear.
That was, that was pretty wild. Rory melted down today. That was fun. Because that was a bet that I had. He shot a 7-over. And as soon... I was watching it this morning. It was the par 3 eighth.
Mm-hmm.
He gets it on the green, and then it just rolls off into the...
To death.
To trap. And that was... It was it.
Bogey. Like
that,
he made double, yeah.
He doubled that, and then it went bogey. Then he had another bogey, double on 11. I mean, it was like, all right, game over for Rory.
I did appreciate though, like, I'm a ride or die Rory guy. Thank you for not getting my hopes. Like, just kill me right now. Like, that was easy. Good, done, moving on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I'm curious how this is all going to play out because there are some big names that just were horrendous today. Some were not completely horrendous. And then, you know, we look at the top of the leaderboard and, you know, Xander's up there like he always is after first rounds. Koepka, I thought, played decently today. And then you're like, oh, Scheffler's 11th. Okay, he's probably going to win.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he figured out playing. Like, everyone's like, well, this is his worst major. It's like, yeah, he only has one top 10 and he's never missed the cut. It's like, but it's an unbelievable standard.
And then I just, like, I don't know how Shane Lowry's going to finish. But you just watch this round, and I'm not a big golf guy. I watch the majors, and I don't pretend to, you know, be smart about it. I like to bet on the majors. And I'm just watching Shane Lowry shoot, you know, like you said, a bogey-free round. I'm like, what? This dude is made for the British Open.
100%.
Like, what am I doing? Why did I not bet him?
When it's tough, and it's like, it's rainy, windy, gross, like, that's when he's going to be at his best.
Yeah.
All right, then lastly, before we let you go, you've been great this week. I really appreciate you doing this, and thank you again for Doug Allen. All right, so we had the viral clip going, and again, this has confused me, because Lane Kiffin was at SEC Media Days on Monday, but yet people are passing around this clip as if it were today, and it's a clip from the Paul Feinbaum show in which Lane basically blames Paul for him getting fired at USC, for Paul cutting a promo on him on game day, and then he finishes with the, I don't know what you're good at. Now, I told you this off the air, but I'll say this. I'm woke on this. I think this is a bit. Like, they go back and forth at each other, but I'm pretty sure it's always fairly orchestrated.
My favorite part of the clip, and it's circulating out there. I saw it on the Twitter feed, SEC Unfiltered. My favorite part of the clip was he goes, you compared me to Miley Cyrus, and you are wrong about that, too.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're good at.
he dropped a Miley Cyrus just won a Grammy on you. Like, what do you compare me to Miley Cyrus, and now I'm coaching a team that's a favorite to go to the playoff, and Miley Cyrus is out there winning Grammys.
No, I mean, it's why I'm pretty sure Paul's in on it. Like, because, you know, Paul still has kind of that circus master.
How much is Paul in on? I mean, because I remember.
A lot.
I mean. Yeah, I mean, I've never lived in the South, so I don't know. Like,
he's from Memphis.
I remember he said something. It was like early on when Brian Kelly was at Notre Dame, and he was like, "He's a bad guy." And someone just was like, "Oh, you've met him?" He's like, "No, I've never met him."
And I'm
like,
yeah,
what? You know, it's like when he gets into his non-SEC world, he gets a little shaky.
Yeah, no.
Little shaky.
Little out of skis.
Yeah. But, like, I think, does Saban like him?
Oh, yes.
Well, because he, like, kind of bows down to the altar of Saban, right?
Well, he was, like, unbelievable for his career, and he knows that.
Okay.
All right, buddy, we appreciate you, man.
Yeah, man, this was fun. I appreciate you having me on, and hopefully I didn't tank your ratings for 4 days.
It's tough to tank what can't go any lower. So my thanks to you. All right, it's time for Tell Your Story. A lot of good ones out there today. I think, though, we're going to have to go with the aforementioned Hugh Freeze. Hugh talking about the offense last year. We didn't do the things I'm good at. I'll be a part of the offense now. I'll do the adjustments if it's not working. Just a reminder, when it works, it's all Hugh. When it doesn't, it's whoever. It's going to be Derek Nix. So just a heads up on that. That's the ultimate tell your story. My thanks to Doug Allen for joining the program, as well as Tim. My thanks to all you for listening. For Dennis, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.